The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy? Yeah! Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 12th day of December, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 226 points. S&P is down 26. The comp is off by 52. And I think even the bigger story, gold. Michael, gold is down $50
off the top of my head. Yes, significantly.
And good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you as well. Seems like I see you held on to that last trade.
Seems like
from the live trading room this morning.
I got out.
The ES one?
Oh, the ES one. Oh, yeah, I did. I did hang on to that one. Oh,
yes, good.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Very nice.
Okay. I see what you're talking about. Yeah, I did hang on to
you
that.
See what I'm talking about?
I see what you're talking
okay.
about. I was wishing I'd hung on to the YM trade that I got out of as we closed the live trading room.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do the woulda, coulda, shoulda, because it was a nice trade. I mean, we got 13, actually, because I just exited a market because I wanted to go to break. We got 13 points out of it, but it went. Price
35.
That we got in here?
About 70.
Yeah, we got in right there at 35, and it's boom. See? That happened while we're on break. Imagine what happens when we're actually working. Hey, how about that euro, man? Wow.
Yeah,
we tweeted this last night. at 133.20. I consider selling it on a stop. And my last calculation, which was right here, was 120 pip drop so far. It's actually dropped a little farther, and another 6 pips. So, about 126 pip drop so far. Things not looking good all across the horizon. We do have the FOMC tomorrow. I don't know what they could do to stimulate this thing. They don't have any interest rate bullets left in the gun, really. I mean, we're at less than 1% right now, correct?
Correct.
We're at, what, 0.25%? Or is it like...
Yeah, something like that.
Do they even have an interest
rate? We're about as low as we can go.
Yeah, we're as low as we can go. So, what could they say or do? The only thing would be the official launch, I suppose, of the QE3. And I don't know if that's in the playbook or not. We have a sitting president coming into an election year that certainly wants to do whatever he can to prop up this economy. So I don't know. There's just, what do you do? And the surprising thing, we spoke about this briefly in the live trading room this morning, the fact that gold is following the world markets down, when we would have thought that one, final safe haven, as everyone has, when gold was trading $400 or $500, and many of us were talking about $1,000 gold, Luis Yamada, not a nutcase, one of the smartest chart strategists to ever walk down Wall Street. She was calling for $1,000 gold back in 2005. And people go, man, she's finally gone off her rocker. We always had a lot of respect for her, but now she's headed for the loony bin. Well, my goodness. Here we sit at, on a bad day, we're down to 1,600. Could we go lower to 1,500? Okay. That, from the big picture standpoint, that's a nice pullback. That's a nice pullback getting ready for another leg. Now, is it deep enough that it will shake a lot of people out? Yeah. But is it the end of the golden bull run? I don't know. If economists will have to rewrite their books, everybody that ever said it was the only safe haven currency left in the world, or the only... Yeah, it's not really a currency. We have fiat currencies, but you know what I mean. A storehouse of value. So either the goose is cooked or this is a pullback and the next leg is going to be a real doozy. Because after Louise said 1,000, many others came to the table and said 1,500, 2,000, 25, 3,000, and it all sounded very far-fetched. But I got to tell you, when gold was at 500 and Louise said 1,000, that sounded very far-fetched. But we know where we are today, so we'll keep an eye on it. Oh, I forgot to do a garble check.
Garble check's good so far.
So far, so good. There
are a couple little tweaks in the intro, but garble check's good.
Well, I don't know if I can even. He said he'll work on anything. So we'll see how the whole show goes. I told him, for those of you who are interested, and I know many of you are, my situation has gotten the attention of the people in the super secret internet bunker underground in North Phoenix, the place nobody even knows exists, because they cannot understand why I'm having the problem that I specifically am having. And so if it gets bad, with a text message, they are going to come online and monitor what is transpiring to try to nail it down, because they think now it might be on the other side of the bulkhead or the something, some kind of head, not bulkhead, that's in a Navy vessel or in any seagoing vessel, but there was some kind of head that it's on the other side of the head. In other words, it's like it's not in my house or between the pipe in my house or even on my street, but it's actually back at HQ somewhere that they're messing it up. And see, mere mortals, ordinary individuals just surfing the internet would never even know there was a hiccup. but it's when you're trying to broadcast voice and a packet gets dropped, that becomes very obvious. So, anyway, we talked about that enough last week. I don't want to get started on that rant again. They said they'll fix it no matter what, so if they don't, we'll do something different. We'll start a newsletter. We'll drop the radio show and we'll do a newsletter.
That's funny. All right.
Oh, and for those of you who didn't notice, I'm going to blow your mind. Well, that might be a stretch, but I'm going to try. No, if you notice on the homepage of CFRN, hang on. I have attempted to make it incredibly easy for folks to get into the live radio broadcast. Underneath the radio tower, of course, it says you can listen to the live radio stream 24/7, and that's true. We do broadcast 24/7. But if you want to watch the charts, participate in the discussion, ask questions, then this great big button here. It used to say, little tiny text said, click here. I blew it up. Right there. Boom. See that? Wow. You just come over here, click watch now, and off you go. Boom. And you're in watching the live charts, participating in the discussion, having a fine old time. Oh, and we have a winner. Hopefully you saw the video on Friday when we did the reveal. If not, go to cfrn.net/iPad. iPad 2 giveaway. We have a winner. And the winner is Octavio. So congratulations to Octavio. Gee, I should probably have a studio audience is on break. Oh, here, they're wandering back in right now. There they are. Come on, guys, get in here. All right. Congratulations, Octavio. I hear it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I haven't met you in person, but your emails were certainly friendly. And I got your tracking number, and that baby is on the way. Now, interesting story here. You won't be able to hear the volume on the video, but that's not important. But if we scoot it up to right here, where'd it go? Bert, I talked to Bert Friday afternoon. He goes, dude, what happened to your knuckle? Oh, that's funny. I don't guess you could see that, Michael.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh. Yeah, but I was talking. I said it. I saw that when it was running. I said, it looks like the guy was punching a wall or something. Yeah. He had a rough day.
See, when when you have your mic on mute, we can't hear you.
Ah, you can't hear me when my mic's on mute?
No.
Well, you can hear me now, though.
I can hear you now. All right. Okay, I know you got a lot going on, so you go ahead and you just take that camera and that microphone and do the recap, please, sir. With your microphone on.
Oops, yeah, we'll do that. We'll switch my microphone on.
It doesn't have a thing where it'll just stay on? Is it like a CB mic where you have to, like, hold it down to talk?
No, it's got a thing that'll stay on. I just don't like to have a lot of background noise when other folks are trying to talk.
I see. Okay. That's very kind of you.
I'm trying to be considerate, and I won't say inconsiderate, but
does it make you feel like a truck driver?
Out of touch, a little bit.
Because when we were back in the truck driving days, I never drove a truck, but I did have a CB radio as a kid. Back when I was a kid in high school, we jacked our car up in the back and put fat tires on it. Totally the opposite of what kids do here in Phoenix. They jack their car up in front and put little skinny tires on it. I don't know what they're thinking. And then we had these massive CB antenna whips coming off the back of our cars, and we'd ride around town. Yeah, hey, breaker, good buddy. I don't know why, but I guess because we didn't have cell phones. That was our version of texting.
It was your version of a cell phone.
I never even thought of it like that. That's what it was. I was the Blackbeard, the KK2, the 759. Actually, I borrowed a buddy's license. I was kind of a renegade, but anyway. You're supposed to have a license to be on CB radio, in case you didn't know. All right, Michael, it's all yours.
I didn't know that. All right, I have the charts. You guys should be able to see my charts right now.
Yep.
And we'll go through the recording here. All right. 3, 2, 1. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is December 12th, 2011. It's 12-12-2011. I'm going to go through a few trades here. We didn't take that many this morning. I actually got two break evens, so you can see my net for the day is zero. Some of the members took a point when they could. Some of the partners took a point when they could. One of the partners took 2 points when he just let it run. Anyway, I was considering doing that in the last trade that I took, but I didn't. All right, so here's what we had. We started the day out here. The market was down. We had a huge gap down. We had like an 18-point gap down. And we're looking to go short here on pullback to the BBC. This was the bubble, but it didn't pull back far enough. Then we didn't put in a lower swing, so we had to wait until we got over here. We tried to go short again over here, but we couldn't right there. There's a space. We needed a lower swing again. Finally, we had the opportunity to go short. I actually got into this one a little bit late. I got in over here. I didn't see it when it was happening over here. But this was the bubble, and this was the first touch of the BBC, the first pullback to the BBC from that bubble. I didn't see the trade actually trigger because I was doing something else. I was looking into the chart or something. So I actually entered it over here, and I got in one tick better than the entry over here, so I got in at 31. Now, as one of the partners pointed out this morning, that worked against me because I moved my stop to break even once I had 1 point in the trade. Had I gotten in at 0.75, you know, at 30.75, I never would have had 1 point in the trade, so I never would have moved my stop to break even. And I would have had my 2 points from that, because you can see it did go down the full 2 points. then we're looking for lower swings. We couldn't trade this pullback right here on a fresh bubble because we had this area right in there. All right, we got a pullback to the BBC, but we couldn't trade anything. We're looking for a lower swing after that. The market looked like it was attempting to move up here. I think the 2100 tick actually had a bullish cross here, but we were saying everything else was suggesting it's just going sideways, so we stayed out of it until it got over here. We had a lower swing. This is a George trade. The BBC was still inside the box. We traded the BBC on a limit order at 27.5. It went against us a point and a half. It went, you know, pretty well against us there. Looks like a point and three quarter almost. And then the trade started coming back in our favor. Once we got up, it was right at the, this was our break period right in here. And once it got a point profit in the trade, I moved my stop to break even, and it took me out of break even again, right before dropping down another 7 points. And that was my morning trading. Now let me show you how it all looked on the other time frames. Over here on the 10,000 contract, we had our bearish cross in the pre-market, and our first pullback was over here in the pre-market. So we never had an opportunity to trade the first pullback until right here. And right here is the same time that I traded on the four tick range. Okay, so that right there, the first pullback on the 10K, it was also the same trade I took on the four tick range. The trade that Dwayne took over here on the YM was also the same time that I took that trade on the four tick range. So we had it going on all three of these time frames. We had the same type of trade, a short from the BBC, going on all at once. I'll show you the 2100 tick. We had the same trade right here on the 2100 tick, except the cycle had not gone down below the 50 yet. So on the 2100, this wasn't a trade yet. It was just at the BBC. You see how much it penetrated the BBC right there before it came back down. But that obviously worked out in favor of the trade. The 2100 may have a trade right now, but it's going into a weekly trading zone. if I scroll back enough here, you'll see we had, let's bring this up so you can see the time on this. This was in the pre-market. We had a bearish cross, and we were looking for the first pullback to the BBC after the bearish cross. We got that over here, but by the time we got it, the cycle was headed up pretty strong, so we weren't really looking for, we weren't really sure what the market was going to do here. Okay. We were thinking the market may be going up here, and the cycle was headed up pretty strong against the trade, so we were just waiting. We're sitting on our hands and waiting. Again, over here, we couldn't take the trade on the short side. The only time we could take the trade, well, was right in here when it pulled back up right here, but we didn't take that one. We did take that one at the end right here, but that wasn't actually even a valid one over here by the cycle. Okay. And that was pretty much it. There were some things I'll point out here on the 6E. Just a second, let me grab it. All right. Now, the 6E trade this morning, a couple of the partners, or maybe even a couple of folks in trial, had asked about the setup on the 6E. What we look for is divergence, and then the first pullback to the BBC after divergence, as long as it's on the proper side of the elbow. Okay? So the elbow's broken down here. We're looking for shorts. We had divergence over here. We're looking for the first pullback to the BBC, which is right in there. All right? It happened again, and this, I think, is the one that happened in the live trading room this morning. We had divergence right here. This was the first pullback to the BBC. I know Robert, one of our partners, took this trade right here for 8 ticks. We had bullish divergence here, but we're on the wrong side of the elbow for bullish divergence. We had bearish divergence here, and this was the first pullback. So it's that trade right there is struggling right now. But I would expect if it gets above here, it'll keep going up. But if it drops below that BBC, that thing should drop. Well, that's European markets. It's a 6E, and they closed lower. I wouldn't be trading the 6E right now. But let's see. Over here on the back to the ES, on the 4-tick range, we're right inside a zone here, so we don't have any trades setting up here. We're right below a zone on the YM. This was the optimal trade right here. Any follow-ups after that are okay. This one being right at the zone, the BBC right at the zone, with bearish divergence, pretty high probability trade if you would have taken it at 118.89. Let's jump to one other market. Let me grab it here if I can. I can't find it. Oh, here it is. George on the 2100 at 10:48. Okay, I'll show that in a minute. All right, this is the Russell 2000. It's been pretty choppy. It's a 10-tick range on the Russell 2000. From the pre-market, there was nice opportunity, but after the pre-market, you know, once the markets opened up, there was like one chance here and one chance over here. So this one here, I wouldn't have done with the cycle going the way that it is. Right over here would have been a possibility, and it's been pretty choppy ever since then. All right. That's the Russell 2000 on 10 tick range. Now you can also trade the Russell just like we did with the 6E. All right. And George said to look at the 2100 at 10:48. Let me just look at that. 2100 at 10:48. Yeah, it got really choppy in here. This pullback right here. You mean? Right here. No, that's 34, 42, 48. I'm not sure what time zone. But anyway, the bullish one. Okay, yeah, there was a bullish cross here, but this is where I said the market, everything was saying the market was going to be going sideways, and so we did not jump into this. We did have the bullish cross right over here at 10:47, 10:48. We weren't looking to go long right in here because everything else was looking weak. That's why I said that. I didn't show it on the 2100. I did say that the 2100 had a bullish cross here. And that was when we had the elbow moved up over here, I believe. Right? The elbow moved up. Is that right? Yeah. No, that's not the right time frame. It was earlier. Over here is when the elbow had moved up. Okay. But, we never got a trade over here on the 4-tick range. So if the trade, now if you don't even get a George trade on the 4-tick range, like if you don't get one of your trades on the 4-tick range where you get 3 ticks outside the box, then the chances of it working over here are pretty slim. So we didn't take that one. We let that one go. And I think Mike said he was going to let that one go too. Technically, did it qualify? It did. Technically. Because the cycle was above the 50, and we pulled away from him back down here. Okay? Now, if you did take this, and this is in the workshop, the recording of the workshop, if you did take this and you saw that the MA1 was holding the trade in right here, you know, there was opportunity to exit the trade when the MA1 was holding it after you got all these bars right here, unable to close above the MA1. You know, so the entry would have been here at 28.5, and you know, when it couldn't get above 29 here, it couldn't close above 29. You know, that was opportunity to get out of it if you did get into it. Okay. And right now, let's see. We're not doing anything here because we're going right into the zone, but the YM was the best looking trade right here. When I said at the beginning, from 118.89, right there. 118.89, I think is what I said. Out of these markets right here, the YM was the best looking trade right there. And that was the window of opportunity from there to the MA1. It's at the MA1 now. So if you did take the trade, you might want to reduce risk, maybe take some profit. Look for a close down below the MA1 for the trade to continue. Okay. That is the morning recap. And there we go, Dwayne. Done with the recap. At least I'm done with the recording of the recap. Does anyone else have any questions? I am happy to answer questions.
Hey guys, when you sign up for the free trial, you gotta check your bulk folder, you gotta check your spam folder, because I keep getting messages from people via third parties. Hey, I signed up for that free trial, and I know. Now you guys made me lose my place. Oh wait, sign this up is live radio. I'm sorry. You didn't make me lose my place. You're the reason I get up every day. Okay, no. Seriously, what I was saying, because I'm sending out this thing to Monty, because Monty says, I signed up, and you know what? I didn't get a deal. All right, Monty, you got the deal now, because I sent it. Okay, but this is how voracious these spam filters are, and I think I talked about this. Especially if you use Gmail. I don't use just Gmail. We use Gmail apps for business, which is like supposed to be the most clever email client on the planet, and it really does a great job at so many things. But I also have Google Voice. If you call Michael and I, it goes to our Google Voice, and then we're both notified that you've called, so we can call you back. All right. So it sends us an email wherever we're at, on our cell phone, at our desk, whatever. It says, "Hey, you got a call." Well, Google is sending me notifications that I have a call on Google Voice, and it's going to the Gmail bulk email folder. That's how voracious and overzealous the algorithms are that are driving these spam filters and the bulk mail filters. Now, it's all for good reason, because we're tired of somebody hammering us 100 times a day about enlarging some part of our anatomy. Whether it's men or women, we get the emails, and we're sick of the emails. We don't want that garbage. But there is stuff you want that's not garbage, and guess what? It's ending up in the garbage. Now, the bulk is not really garbage, but it's supposed to be anytime a mass email is sent out, that automatically goes to bulk. Because it's really not, shouldn't, in their thinking, it's not at the top of your priority list. Well, sometimes Leslie sends me a personal email, not a mass email, not to 100 people. It's, "Hey, Dwayne, I need you to do this," or "Can you please check this?" And for some reason, it ends up in bulk. So if you're using Gmail and you have a bulk folder, and you haven't been there lately, boy, have you got some surprises waiting for you. Okay? And sometimes it's important stuff, like maybe a bill that's overdue you forgot about, or, I don't know, a court hearing, whatever's going on in your life. You either got to watch that thing or just turn it off. And I know I've said this before, but with each passing day, I'm getting closer to turning mine off. And the reason I hesitate turning mine off is because if I turn it off, it's going to add about 300 emails per day to my inbox on top of what already gets through. So I've been trying to find a way to fine-tune it, to tweak it, to work with it, to get it to behave. I think you either got to go full throttle or turn it off. So I'm almost to the point of turning it off. Go ahead, caller.
That's good. I think on that note, I want to just mention that second trade that I took this morning, Dwayne put on. He put it on, set it, forget it, and he walked away, and that he did get the 2 points out of that. But yes, everyone that's anticipating an email from us, you should make sure to check your spam folders as well. All right. I don't know why, but sometimes they just stick them in there. You know, even when we send them out to just one person at a time, they just stick them in there. But yeah, check that out. Okay.
And when we do mass email, which, you know, we have a lot of people on our list that want to be notified when we're doing something, there's the company that we use. They actually put your email through a test before they send it out. And if your rating is more than a 5, they go, you know, you really shouldn't send this email because nobody's ever going to see it. And I keep everything below like a 0.3. I mean, I work really hard because there's certain keywords. You guys probably didn't know this. If you put the word free in an email, boom, that baby's going into spam. If you put the word credit card in an email, good chance it's going into spam. Okay? There's a lot of buzzwords, keywords, things that the spam filters look for to go, oh yeah, this is garbage. So, I mean, I really drill down and I look and I go, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times you get emails, you go, man, this sounds an awful lot like the last email. Well, yeah, because I don't have to go through and retweak everything. I just change what's important and let the rest fly because I know it's already passed the test. So, things to think about in this world of email, because, you know, they say the post office is shutting down. Have you heard that, Michael?
I've heard that they're shutting down a bunch of it. The whole thing, but they're shutting down, like here in Massachusetts, I know they're shutting down 6 processing centers and, you know, about 15 other locations.
Well, the futuristic, far-thinking guys say that it's really, it's like a covered wagon kind of thing, that shutting down some of the locations is just the beginning. Now, here's what's interesting. As they're shutting down post offices, at the same time, I get a letter delivered to my post office box by, I don't know, a postman. This is, hey, Dwayne Reeves, as an experienced business owner, we would like to offer you a unique opportunity. You may have heard that we're closing down many of our locations, blah, 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 blah. Would you be interested in becoming a contract post office? You follow where they're going here? It's a way of privatizing the postal service without them totally letting go. In other words, they would use, what would happen is, let's say I already have some commercial space or some retail space that I'm using for, I don't know, groceries or a dollar store or a shoes, you know, anything. Any kind of commercial retail location that has doesn't have to have high traffic as long as there's ample parking, etc. You follow me? Now the post office, they have a contract postal station where they're paying no overhead, no rent, no salary, no pension, no health care, and I get a little sliver of a commission off every transaction I push through there. Every postage stamp I sell, every package I ship. You follow me?
Yes.
Privatization of the U.S. Postal System. And I get picked. No, I'm sure, you know, many people got that same letter. But that may be the future of the Postal Service. I mean, they used to come to my house two times a day when I was a kid. In the morning and in the afternoon. I mean, now, and you know what? For all of its mistakes and all of its foibles and whatnot, it's still one of the best deals on the planet. I can sign a legal document today. I can hand it to my postman this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And for 44 cents, they will take that thing all the way across the country through sleet, hail, snow, dark of night, all of that. And Michael, if I send it to you, they will make sure it is put in your hot little hand or mailbox. For 44 cents.
That is
that's kind of
pretty
good,
inexpensive.
It's kind of a good deal, you know. We complain about the increased cost of postage, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, I agree. But it's still a pretty good deal. So
it is. They probably wouldn't do it for 44 cents if it was the only one they were doing.
I mean, I went to send an overnight letter at Kinko's here recently. It was just like 4 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, and I just needed it to get to California overnight. They wanted $30. I'm like, what? It's only like $10. He goes, yeah, like 10 years ago. Because I used to have a secretary that did all my mailing. And anyway, boy, what a wake-up call that was. I go, well, I'm going to shop around. He goes, like, really? Where are you going to go? I go, I'll go to the post office. And so I went to the post office, and even they were $20 to send overnight. Anyway, we're way off topic, way off track. You want to go to Vegas, or you got something of value to add to this
Well, of course I have something of value to add, but why don't we go out to Vegas?
All right.
Because David's waiting, and because I have a Skype that I have to get going here.
All right.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael. Well.
He's already gone, David. Yeah, he had to jump on a Skype conference call with one of our partners who's out of the country. So, he won't be joining us today unless he gets done and pops back in.
Okay. Well, fair enough. How are you, Dwayne? You sound great today, even though you may not have changed anything. You sound perfect.
Well, David, I changed the way I think about things. No.
Just as I said that, your voice just did one of the little twangs, just at that split second.
Ain't
unbelievable.
That funny? I mean, we're a lot closer than we were, and I've got their attention, and they're going to watch it, and I'm going to... I was going to, if it just went to heck in a handcart today, they were standing by for me to text them so that from the networking headquarters they could monitor this thing. It's like a big NORAD room where there's like all these guys standing around and there's these wall-sized screens, you know, and this little
kind of like your office.
Yeah, then this thing's going ping, ping, and that's Dwayne Reeves sitting at his desk, and then there's, and so... I don't want to, I've got that in the bank, and I don't want to use it unless I really need it. I mean.
Well, if it gets really bad, use it. Yeah.
Well,
if
I will.
It throws its,
I will. They said text us, man, and we're on it. So, I don't know. We'll see how the rest of the show goes.
Yeah. Well, so far you sound fine. I mean, there's been nothing really like what we've seen last week. So good to hear. Hope everybody had a great weekend. A lot of still a lot of news coming out. Of course, Europe is the main thing with regard to the markets. I'm not sure what the news is today that made the market go down. Maybe you know, Dwayne. Do you?
You know, David, here in the U.S., we had no news reports out this morning. And so if Bert, if you're listening in the background, perhaps you can share with us what might news might have come out overnight. Sounds like he may be on the phone.
Yeah, he may be. Last week on your program, we didn't make it a forecast, but I mentioned that 1218 would be a level that I would prefer to see on or around December 9th. It's a natural level, and it's the setup for it is not as clean or not as not up to the standard that I would want to see, because to some extent I want it to be exactly perfect on all these setups. But today we did make an attempt. Today's one trading day past that. We did make an attempt. We've gone down to 20 so far. So by them doing this, purely technically, putting the news and, the normal reasoning for why the markets move up and down, there are other reasons. And so with the market making its attempt at 1218, and it's close enough or came within almost a point. Well, actually, what is today's low? 1220. So we still have a little bit. The actual level precisely is 1218. So they've missed it by 2 points so far. A couple big things I'd like to mention, if we can get right into the S&P right now, Dwayne, unless
Absolutely.
You have anything else.
No, go right ahead.
A couple big things. You know, we have been in this consolidation. We had originally maybe a week back or so, we had been calling for a top on December 1st, which occurred in all the other markets, but in the S&P, the market had moved beyond that and went sideways for 4 or 5 days, and then finally started this decline. And a move like that, that sideways move, would normally indicate even with the potential for even a larger decline than what we've seen today. Not all in one day, but a pretty decent sized decline. Getting down to the 1218 and doing that natural level, which is due actually on December 9th, and look at, again, just look at the unusual behavior of the market. Look how well Friday made a new low and closed well. And then today, here we are back down, now completing the natural level. And that is tricky behavior. There's no question about it. Friday's close was Friday was a trend day up, and that's followed by today, which is a trend day down. So that's tricky behavior, and these markets have been tricky. Much larger forces than usual are at work, but even on top of the much larger forces, we have what I might say is sort of extraordinarily tricky behavior by the market, so that you do have to, of course, do all the things we've always talked about: manage the risk, monitor your positions. I'm not sure there are any trade and walk away type of trades for this market, because if you place your stops, you can do that, but in fact, actually, let me retract that. If you do place your stops and have everything in, you can do whatever you want, but just make sure you have those stops in and make sure that you know where the market would have to move to make your trade wrong, because Friday's action by closing that well put the market in a firmer position, and then for them today to now be going down one trading day late and doing this 1218 actually sets the market up for potentially much lower prices. Now, in order to get to those lower prices, they're going to have to get through 1218. We haven't actually touched it yet today, but let me give you a couple examples of where we might be going with this. So take this for what it's worth. These are not actual roadmaps for the market, but they're close, and so we may actually be able to put one together tomorrow. First and most important is that we want to see, excuse me, my throat today, we want to watch and see how the market handles the 1232 level on a closing basis. how the market closes today with regard to 1232. Now, we're a decent distance from it. We're about 8 points away from 1232. So if we close today below 1232 and tomorrow as well, well, let's put it this way. Closing today below 1232 is the weaker position, and that would tend to lean on tomorrow closing below that as well, and that would open the door for the market to have a further decline to 1198. So we would, this move would take us down to, or lower, 1198 or lower, into December 14th. This is a date I've mentioned last week.
Yeah, because I put a line right there, David, I believe, at 1200.
A line on you.
On my chart right there. When you brought up 1198 last week, I think this is when I put in this little horizontal line right here.
Okay, because I had mentioned it, or?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. that will be a very easy trade to take if we get below 18. Now, still 20 points in it, you know, at that point or so. So I like the idea of trading to that target if they further confirm. So, again, just a quick review shows that, you know, the market did some unusual things on the upside, then even during this decline did some unusual things already. So this is a tricky market. You want to be very careful with it. We're testing right now some important levels. On the downside, we've attempted the 1218. I'm sure there's other levels of importance, of course, prior to the 1118 or 1218 level. But that is a level that once they start to move through that, I would be more interested in shorting the market. Prior to that, if the market rallies here, I would be interested in shorting the market as well. So as an example, if we could get up and test or attempt 1227, that's not a forecast for that. That's if they do that, then I would be interested potentially in shorting that level as well. Those of you who have a reflected wave, our turning point methodology.
What was the level again, David? I'm sorry.
Dwayne, it might be time for you to text those people right now.
No, I said, what was the level, David?
The level of...
You just said
1227.
1227. Okay.
You did kind of completely twang out there, so maybe you might want to text your people and have them take a listen.
Okay.
So, you know, it's funny. It happens around this time. That's what's so strange about it. It's not during the early hours. It's as we get a little later in the day after we come on. So, anyway, if they rally, we'd be interested in, we believe in selling short on this until further notified, until the market shows us by one way or the other that they're not able to continue lower. So that's kind of where we are. 1232 is the closing level. We'll watch and see how the S&P handles that today. Any outlook here from you, Dwayne, on the longer term?
Longer term, well, David, we are attempting to we're gonna short the market if we can get a decent pullback here, and for us, that's pretty decent. Substantially higher than where we are now. No, we had some good intraday trades on the short side, and big picture, we're looking for lower prices. The thing is, we may not, because our limit order is substantially higher than here. We may not get triggered into this trade, but we are looking for lower prices. If that answers your question.
Yeah, that does.
In fact, we may end up taking that off because we've kind of ran the course here at 22. Mm-hmm. Not that we can't go lower. In fact,
22. Oh, well, our low is 20, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a potential. When we originally put the trade together, we were thinking about a target of 22. It's already done that without pulling back to fill
us. I gotcha.
So it's kind of one of those runaway things. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll update folks what we're going to do with it. I mean, we do have numbers below. I've got, you know, my just to throw it out there, my lowest number down is like 1177. for this week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's a lot lower.
Yeah, a lot lower. And the thing is I look around the global markets. Probably the biggest surprise is that gold is tanking along with everything else.
With it, right.
You know, that's supposed to be the safe haven. That baby is down $49 today.
Mm-hmm.
We already talked about it a little earlier on, but we'll talk about it with you, too, when you're ready to go there.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to go there. Let's take a quick look at some of these other markets.
Now, see, you just twanged. You just twanged right there.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough. But I'm talking about the thing where it goes away completely, where you just can't hear anything. And that's the one that would I would want them to hear if that happens.
Yeah, I'm gonna send them a text right now.
Yeah. okay, let's take a look at gold. This is an interesting market. We had talked last week, Dwayne, about the natural level on the downside for the market to have tested was 1699. They had not reached that level as of December 6th, and they had bottomed at 1705 and then advanced and then declined again and retested that 1705 level. And I mentioned again on Thursday that really the minimum on the downside we'd like to see is 1699. Well, today they just sliced right through it, tried to test it from the underside, and then continued down. So this was another kind of a tricky setup for a move because the market had made a couple of attempts to get down to 1699 and then sliced right through it. And that makes that level selling territory just in case it's reached on the upside. So it's not anywhere near there now. So obviously that's probably out of the deal. But if they did get up there, I would be short selling at that level. You would have to trade larger than, you'd probably have to use about a 10-point stop on this in order to really be effective with it. But at or near 1699, and there should be no daily closes above that level. Intraday, they may go a little higher than that. And those, again, with reflected wave could time this very well on the upside to match both the price, 1699, along with the reflected wave top that would be being put in at that time, which might be on a particular time frame, or multiple time frames for that matter. So that would be an interesting and potentially profitable setup. We don't have any outright forecast for further decline at this point, but the next important level down is roughly 1645. So today's low has been 1660. If we close today below 1670, then that would indicate that the market wants to go take care of 1645 on the downside, at or near 1645. So keep that in mind. That would be something to take a look at in gold. Very choppy movement has occurred in gold over the last couple of weeks. We went from a very nice trend going up, starting from the low on September 26th to the high on November 8th, and we had a nice decline. And then from that point forward, it started getting choppier and choppier. And you can see this last leg down from December 2nd's top. And again, there's that top we talked about normally for the S&P, was good for the gold, was good for the euro, but it did not work on the S&P for whatever reason. Both the gold and the euro and some stocks turned right on that date. But that turn resulted in a pretty choppy market with some tricky behavior from gold as well on the way down. So between today and tomorrow, you know, I mentioned December 14th for the S&P. We have something for the gold on December 13th as well as a bottom. So that's one day early off of the 14th. But this happens to be specific to the gold market. So if tomorrow we get down and do the 1645, that will be an important indication for us, and we will do something potentially with that. So if there's any question about that, we'll talk about that as the day occurs tomorrow. So let's switch through this. Then we have something even bigger. Let me also mention, gold also has another important date. I know these are all You know what? I'll save that until the date comes, and we'll give you the full indication. Rather than, I don't want to confuse people with these different dates right now. We'll move on from there. So let's move over to Dwayne. Anything? Any comment on gold from your side?
I'm just sorry that I didn't look at it last night and sent a tweet out on it, because I did on the euro, and we nailed that pretty good.
Yeah.
And I just, for whatever reason, I never clicked over and looked at the gold chart. And but anyway, I'm just surprised more than anything. There's no remorse that I wasn't in the trade. Just surprised at the continue. This is an hourly. Let me push this out to a daily so that people can kind of get a, let me get rid of all the little drawing objects and then shrink it down. Okay. So from a daily perspective, here we had gold way back here at, what was the high, 1920?
Mm-hmm. 1925? Yeah, about $1,000 over the old all-time high.
Yeah, then we made this spike low here, I mean, and then we ran, could not put in a new high, and we're back here. So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we talked about this earlier in the show, in the grand scheme of things, this could be seen as nothing more than just a very, you know, healthy pullback.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is in fact what it is, just a healthy pullback in this ongoing uptrend, this next leg could be quite a doozy.
Mm-hmm. Sure could.
So that's a highly technical term, quite a doozy.
Doozy. Yeah, the doozy is, you know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of a doozy.
I love that. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the doozy. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we do have some things coming up on gold, and I'll mention them tomorrow because it'll be closer to the date. One thing I could say right now, hopefully not confusing it too much, but starting tomorrow, gold is in a bottoming cycle, as I mentioned before, December 13th. But if on December 14th, if we happen to be in this area closing above 1672, that would be a strong position for the possibility of a doozy on the upside. If, on the other hand, we go down and test that 1645 level that I talked about, that would also be important, too, on that date, on or around that date. So the 13th and the 14th, just like for the S&P, is important for gold as well. So we'll watch that. And if you want, Dwayne, let's move on to the euro. We had talked a number of times over this last several weeks about the euro having a potential setup. Let me get my chart up here for an advance to 136.70. But in order to do that, they had to stay above, and now we're going to the March euro. They would have to stay above, the numbers are pretty close, 133.20 basically, in order daily closes above 133.20. Another tricky move here, like we've seen in a number of markets, where we had several days of testing that level in the March euro, and then today, December 12th, they broke through it. Now, you remember that the week that this was due, the advance would be due to complete on the upside, would be the week of December 12th, and this is the week now that they've broken this. So this actually, as I've mentioned, would indicate that much lower prices would be possible, all the way down to the 128.70 level. This is kind of a continuation chart, so it's probably a blend of both contracts here, but 128.70 on the downside. So as it stands right now, I would be looking to, because of that break, I would be looking to short the market in the euro, because we did mention in the forecast that if they broke that level, closed daily below the 133.70, roughly 20 level, this is again now March contract, then we would want to sell short here. And I would think that a person could, if the market does rally, could sell short at 133.40 or so, just to be sure, somewhere in that range, if they get there. We're quite substantially below that now, and we would want to take more localized trades right now for lower prices coming. So we'll let that occur. But this is an interesting setup in the euro because very much like gold, they sat on an important level. Again, the 133.20 level for a number of days. They got, you know, they tested it and spiked it, but closed both days above it and then sliced right through it today like it was nothing. So that's tricky behavior, and that's why we use stops, because when the market wants to do that, you don't want to be the guy. You really don't want to be the guy holding on, hoping that the market comes back to let you out of this particular trade when it potentially is going down, you know, another 400 or 500 pips down to 28. So that's why we use stops, because there's no point in you holding on to that and taking that kind of a loss, because the market will make those kinds of moves, and you know it'll do it from time to time, and that's all it requires. It doesn't have to do it every time. It just has to do it a few times with you holding on foolishly. And if you're going to do that, then you know you end up losing whole trading accounts based on that type of action in the market.
I mean, this move last night, David, that was 120 pips.
Yeah, that's huge. These are fabulous moves, but you have to have the courage of your convictions. You also have to, you know, have the Twilight Zone playing on your VCR to keep you up all night to trade this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm kind of early to bed and early to rise. I don't do well on limited sleep.
I've had to learn to do well on limited sleep.
How many hours are you getting tonight?
Tonight? Plus or minus 1 hour?
Probably plus or minus 1 unit of time?
Probably 5. It's not enough.
That's all you sleep, 5 hours.
Yeah, and you know, it's not because I only want to sleep 5 hours. It's just that for some reason, and probably if I stayed out of the control tower, but about 9 or 9:30, I catch some second wind and some kind of creative juices start to flow, and I start thinking, and it's at that point I should just say, self, stop. Go lay down. Use David's thing. Make an agreement with yourself. You're just going to relax. You're not going to think about markets or anything else. You're just going to make a contract with yourself that you're just going to have a beautiful, deep, wonderful sleep and wake up refreshed. But the thing is I don't wake up refreshed even when I've had a lot of sleep. In fact, too much sleep, I feel worse than if I haven't had enough sleep.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And getting going in the morning, it's like, you know, about that third cup of coffee, about that third cup of coffee, just about time the live trading room's over and the radio show's over and the markets are about to close, man, I'm pumped. I'm ready to go.
Right.
And so then I crash and burn until about 9 o'clock at night when I should be going to bed, and now I'm all revved up and ready to go again.
Yeah. No, that's peculiar. You have to figure out what that is and take care of that. For me, just it's silly, but it's one of these things. I can't play my guitar past 8 o'clock because there's no question. When I play guitar, that awakens something, some other section, or it supercharges something already there. It does something to me because I cannot go to sleep if I play my guitar after 8 o'clock, especially if I'm – and if you play, it means you're getting into it and you're enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that means that 9 could roll by, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I just cannot shut my brain off at that point. So I've learned to – if I'm going to play, I have to play up to 8 o'clock, and then I need an hour or more to let whatever gets triggered by that slow down. You know, everybody has to find their own thing about sleep, but one thing I've also noticed is that some people do very well with sleeping with the TV, as an example, in their room. I prefer not to do that, but some people are able to do that. But I've always distrusted, or not distrusted, but some I didn't believe people that, you know, oh, I only get 4 hours a night, that's all I need, and all that. Sort of like the, you know, the mythological, you know, the Chuck Norris mentality where you're the Superman, you know, and everything is just different for you. But my mom was a person that, without ever even mentioning it, was really a limited sleeper. Now, I think she did sometimes take naps in the day, but and that's the other question to ask people who say they only get 4 hours a night is how many naps do you take? because it's very rare that people can run their full day on that limited of sleep for any period of time. So, but my mom was that way. My mom was about maybe a 6 hour a night sleeper, which is not enough for most people. 6 hours a night will, you know, you'll feel crispy after a few days of that. So anyway, myself, not that anyone is interested, but about 7.5 hours is what is my normal sleep. If I get too much, it can make me feel a little groggy or something, but I could do and probably would do well on 8 hours a night. That's probably my normal amount that I would do well on. But as it works out, I usually get about 7.5. So, and I do, for people who hadn't heard this before, you know, a lot of things can go through your mind while you're laying in bed, a lot of things that you're worried about and want to think about, or things that have the potential to cause you worry. And I want to just say something about worry. Worry is weakness of character. That's what worry is. Because when you have character, and I'm not saying that I'm not speaking down to anybody. This is my opinion, and this is also something that I suffer from, as anybody else does. But the mere act of laying around worrying about things means weakness of character. You can handle all the problems life throws at you. You can. And when you worry, you dip into fear. You get into that whole thing, and you're asking fear to solve your problem. And fear can only deliver up one thing to you. Fear. That's all it can do. It's not going to deliver up a solution that's going to take your worry away. Fear is going to keep you in fear. That's the only product it can deliver. And when you're laying around worrying about things, you're worrying because you have fear. And what is that fear? Fear that somebody's going to take something from you, you're going to lose money on something, you're going to do one thing or the other. So one broad stroke I could say that everyone, myself included, needs to learn to do is to investigate your fears and realize that you can't go to fear, drop into fear, and expect to find a resolution to your fear. Fear's not going to do that for you. It doesn't have the capacity to do it for you. It will invite you in. Because of weakness of character, we go in. We go into fear, and we want to see what it has to say to us. Maybe it's going to fix our problem for us. Maybe it'll make us feel better about that thing we've been worrying about. But the reason you're worrying about it is because of fear. And it invites you in and says, well, maybe there's a solution in here. And he keeps showing you, no, there's no solution. See, this would happen, and then you would feel bad over here. And, well, that would happen, and then you'd lose that over there. And if this happened over here, you know, that's what fear does. So when I say weakness of character, I mean the willingness to walk into fear instead of just cutting it, instead of just not even dealing with it, because it has nothing to give you. It's fear. It's a mechanical force, and it's going to work on you as long as you give it your attention. And fear has your attention if you're worrying. You can do all the practical things necessary to solve your problems without 1 ounce of fear. Again, I'm not speaking down to people and saying that I live my life this way, but I know this is a fact. You can do and solve all of your problems without 1 ounce of fear. But because fear invites us, and because we're afraid to not be without fear, fear gives a strange sense of comfort at the same time that it's causing you all this grief. It's causing you all this upset. We go there. Can you just cut it? Can you just interrupt fear and step right back out of it and get back into the practical? Practice that during the day, and you'll find that when you put your head down on the pillow at night, you won't be spending so much time, you know, hanging around the back alley of fear, where they're promising you to solve your problem, but what they're really doing is making you more anxious and afraid of your problem. And you don't know what to do with yourself when you're in fear, so you go visit fear. It's like the criminal returning to the scene of the crime. Once it's infected you, you go back for more of the same drug. And, you know, it's like you need the fix. And you think the fix is going to take care of fear. It's actually an injection of more fear. That's what you're doing when you dip into fear. And that's why I call it weakness of character, because you're under the influence of fear. You're afraid your girlfriend's going to leave you. You're afraid your money's going to get lost or stolen. You're afraid whatever it is, whatever that is, it's not going to be solved in fear. The way you solve it is by transcending and seeing through fear. The way you see through fear is by not visiting and not going there, cutting it. Don't worry about where you're supposed to go with your mind. Just cut it and bring yourself right back to now. And by doing that, fear has less and less of a hold. It makes you think you have to go there to solve your problem, but it's really sending you there to inject you with more fear so that you worry about your life and worry about your problems. I mean, even in the Bible, Jesus says, what man can extend his day by one life, you know, by worrying about tomorrow, right? Or yeah. What's the line, Dwayne?
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
I think we lost Dwayne there.
No, I said that's it.
Oh, okay, that's it, yeah. So he was saying, you know, this is along those same lines. He's encouraging his followers not to drop into fear, not to drop into worry, et cetera. And so the whole point of saying that is that go to bed and agree with yourself that you're going to go to sleep, that whatever problems you have, whatever things that have to be dealt with on a practical matter, that if the Lord wakes you up tomorrow, you'll take care of them. But between now and then, he wants you to go to sleep and get a good night's rest.
One reference is Matthew 6:27. In the New International Version, it says, who of you by worrying.
Worrying. Dislocated my jaw doing that.
Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Can all your worries, and then if you go to the New Living Translation, can all your worries add a single moment to your life?
Likely, they'll take a few moments from your life.
And let's go to the old King James. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?
And then what does it say in the Chain Smokers Bible?
I don't know, David.
That's the Chain Concordance Bible, I'm sorry. I always joke about that.
I don't have that one up here on my screen. The Chain.
That's okay.
I have the Aramaic in plain English, but who of you, while taking pains, is able to add a foot and a half to his stature?
There you are.
So they're all saying pretty much
they're all
the
saying
same
this very much the same thing. There's something insidious about worrying. There's something insidious about fear, and you're not going to get out of it utilizing it. You're not going to use fear to get rid of fear. You're not going to go to fear to get over fear. You're not going to visit worry to undo worry. You have to have the courage to step away from both of them and find a direction, which you will, that doesn't involve their back alley solution to your life's problems. And by the way, many of your life's problems is because you're hanging around these muggers and thieves called fear and worry. That's where many of your problems originated from. The fear or the worry of something caused you to act a certain way, and that caused another problem. Before you know it, you've got more things to worry about. So try to live a life not visiting there, not trying to be a He-Man. You're not trying to act like you're strong, because that's the old trick of the mind, is to try to pretend like things are that way. We're not talking about pretending. We're talking about just simply not cutting it, just not visiting those areas. You whatever your problems you have, you take the practical solution to those problems and work them through until they're done. And let all the other worries and fears that want to come up, you just step right out of them. Don't even, you know, you'll catch yourself in there and you step right back out. And after a while, they don't have the power of your attention. Your attention is their power. But when they have your attention, you think they have power because of their little trick. But reality is that you have given them the power of your attention. You've handed it over to them. And then they utilize it and they empower themselves, the imps in your mind, and they act like they have power, and now you believe in them even more. Like a little kid with a little hat that has a little miner's light on it, and when that light falls on certain little dolls in this room, the dolls start dancing, and the kid doesn't realize that the source of their power is the light coming off of his head. So when he turns his head away and looks somewhere else, those dolls stop dancing. He believes they still exist and are dancing, and as soon as he turns over there and puts the light back on them, there they are dancing again. So he has every right to believe that they have their own power. They don't. They're using his power. But he's so fascinated by their movement, he's so fascinated by what they're doing, He thinks they have their own power and forgets that he's empowering them. He's given his attention to them to use against him. That's what fear does to you. That's what worry does to you. So think of the practical solution to your problem, whatever it is, and work step by step towards that solution. And every time your mind goes into fear, say, I'm just going to stick with the practical. I'm going to solve this on a practical basis, and don't go back. And just cut it. Because the only way it stays alive is by you giving it that attention. And at some point, some magical moment, you'll realize that every fear you have, I'm not talking about the natural fears of falling off of a mountain, which you don't have to be freaked out by unless you happen to be, you know, if you jumped off of a mountain, you would feel physical fear, etc. We're talking about the ordinary daily life fears and worries that we all have. At some point, you'll get to a point where you realize that your fear operates off of your willing to hand over the power of attention to it, and it runs on that. That's the ever-ready battery is your attention. And then before you know it, it starts telling you that the solutions are there and that it'll tell you what the solution is. And before you know it, you know, it's when people do this to the final extent, they end up doing terrible things out of fear, including either killing other people, killing themselves, whatever it is. You've seen it. People get stuck in that. And it all starts from the handing over of your attention to fear. This goes to trading as well. And, you know, the bad pictures that can go into your mind, boy, if I trade this next move, they're going to kill me like they did last time. And you're looking to fear. So it's a big subject because there's so much of it in our lives. It happens so many times. There's so much of this going on that, you know, we've already labeled it normal to be that way. And it's really, you know, partially insanity. Partial insanity to live a life that way, my opinion anyway. So,
I agree.
Yeah,
I do agree.
Well, anyway, so we're back at the S&P here. It's been that we did rally up here. We didn't get high enough. We got to about 1225. If we did get up to 1227 or so, as long as we don't take too long to get there, I would be interested in selling short the S&P here. Because of the unusual movements that we've seen in the S&P, I'm going to be a little more cautious in today's session. I know you guys had a couple of trades today that were good, Dwayne, or whichever number you had, but I'm going to we're waiting here to see something a little bit more along the normal lines, and if we do see that, then we'll trade it. I do want to remind you that at least as far as we're concerned, let's go over the numbers one more time, just to be sure that we have it straight. Number one, as I mentioned last week, 1218 is a natural number for December 9th. I was concerned about giving it out as a real forecast because of the unusual behavior and the market's failure to turn on December 1st, which was a call that we had made. So that gave me pause. As it so works out, they're attempting to get down to 1218 one trading day late today. And if we close today, as I mentioned before, if we were to close today below 1232 as well as tomorrow below 1232, then the decline would take us down to 1198, 1197 into the December 14th date that we talked about earlier. So this potentially is a sizable move. And as I mentioned, the move that would come out of this kind of unusual behavior would normally be pretty big. But normal is kind of hard to throw at a market that's doing tricky things. You know, normal is normal. So we're going to wait for a little more confirmation here. But for those of you who are aggressive, and there's nothing wrong with aggressive trading if you use stops, sometimes an aggressive trader can really get a home run because he got it right. The problem with aggressive trading is that you can go through quite a bit of trades where you are trading quote-unquote aggressively and taking a number of you know, reasonable-sized hits. And even though there's really nothing wrong with that either, if you continue to trade aggressively, you'll catch up at some point if you know what you're doing. But the problem is the psychology of taking a number of losses will start getting you to change your strategy. That's why if you decide to trade aggressively, you have to continue to do it. It's, you know, there's a mantra that people repeat in the trading business is that you have to have a strategy and stick to it. And it's actually, I think, true that if you're going to work a particular strategy, you have to take all the trades off that strategy. You can't really sit around and pick and choose from that particular strategy. If it's a mechanical system and it's giving you trades, you'd be better off trading every one of them in the long run than you would trying to pick and choose, because then you're not really using the methodology. So that's a mantra that I've heard my whole trading career, and I happen to think it's true. I mean, I've investigated it myself, and I believe that if you're going to trade a mechanical system, you should take every trade it gives you. One of the reasons is that quite counterintuitively, you'll get to a point where it's almost certain that you shouldn't take the next trade because you just took two losses in a row, and that trade ends up being, you know, for that mechanical system, a home run. And, you know, makes you whatever number of points and cleans up a lot of mess, etc. And then after that, you should take the next trade after that. I don't have a quote-unquote purely mechanical trading system for myself. I'm actually trading from the viewpoint of just waiting for easy and obvious setups. That's sort of my, you know, mechanical way of doing it. So I'm just looking for a setup that looks easy and obvious to me, and then I'll take a trade based off it. And I don't mind if I have, and one of the reasons I don't mind is I have a business to run and I have other things distracting me. If you don't have those other distractions, you know, it puts some pressure on you, doesn't it, to want to trade. Mm-hmm. And that's where people get into trouble, potentially over trading or whatever. So I was just going to mention that, though, that I've heard that my whole life. There's a mantra that turned out to be true, is that mechanical trading systems, you really should take every system, every trade. And then if you don't like the results of the system, don't start taking less of the trades. Just get into a different system. You know, let that one go and trade every trade from some other system, and that'll make a difference of one kind or another. But take them all, because believe me, and some of you know this for sure, if you wait a trade out because you just aren't going to, you're not going to step right in front of it again or whatever the system's telling you to do, quite often that's the trade that you should have taken. And how many times have you heard it from yourself and others? Yeah, it told me to get long, but I didn't, and then yeah, they ran the guys. What are you going to say, Dwayne?
I was just looking up through the scroll, and Brad had typed in, when Alexander Graham Bell invented the first telephone, he had 2 missed calls from Chuck Norris.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
Oh.
Yeah, good. The Chuck Norris jokes. There really are people. I mean, those jokes are funny. There are people, though, who live in a mythological world of their own making where, you know, everything is always, you know, perfect for them, or, you know, they always win the fight, they always win the girl, they always get this, they always get that, in their own mind. And those Chuck Norris jokes, for me, are funny for a number of reasons, but one of them is because they need to be told to people who do that. That's really funny, though. Here's another one. When Alexander Graham Bell was about to make his first test phone call, what did he say to his partner? It was Alexander Graham Bell and whoever the other guy was. He said, does anybody have a dime? Because it was already...
Does anybody have a dime?
Yeah, pay phone.
That's good.
Listen, I didn't come on the show as a comedian, so...
Alan wants to know if you have any bottom in sight for the soybeans.
Let's see.
And then I'm going to have to, unfortunately... I mean, we'll cover anything else you want to cover, but I got
to No, that's fine. If you have to go, we'll end it here, too. But, Alan, the soybean market has been in a really powerful decline. One of the reasons we've been not trading it is because this decline has been very persistent and is based off of a very important larger time cycle. There have been some, I have to say, there's been some trades that we've missed, you know, upon retrospect that we perhaps should have taken. Under, again, normal conditions, the soybean market would be bottoming today, December 12th. This is what we would call the on-time day for a bottom. And if the market does close today above, I think it's $11.02. Then, and this is of course January soybeans right now. So, you know, that's a contract that may be in some question, but that's what we're in. Then we would potentially be looking for long positions tomorrow. We might even be looking for long positions into today, depending on how the intraday sets up. But that would be my next indication for soybeans. So today being the on-time day for a bottom, and we did make a new low today, and then today closing above $11.02, And with that, I would be looking for a long position with the potential of trading up to the 1131 or so level, a nice bounce from where we are now, $11.09. So there is something here, and we can take a look at it. Those of you who would like to hear about the method that we use to call this, it's called reflected wave. You can go to masterforecastercourse.com and read about it. If you have any questions, you can ask us about it. We have an upcoming seminar next March for that. So, Dwayne, I'll let you run, and everything sounded good today except for that one little moment there. So hopefully.
Well, I sent the guy the link so that, because we're ending early today, like probably right now he's just kind of getting logged in to listen to us. But then I'm going to let him know that same link will work tomorrow, and because I want him to be able to audibly hear it and look at his screen and be able to see, you know, what goes out of whack when it happens. So I think that'll really. And once I close out the show, it takes me 5 minutes to close out the show, but then I'd like to have a 5-minute telephone conversation with you. Are you available?
Sure.
Okay, I'll call you.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, listen, Dwayne, thanks for having me on the program. I'll talk to you shortly here. And for the listeners, let's see what they can do with the S&P here into tomorrow. We'll remember the numbers, the larger numbers here, and closing below 1132 today. So we'll see how the market acts with regard to that.
All right, David, thanks so much. Okay. Appreciate you being on the show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Dwayne. I'll talk to you soon here.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, guys, that's going... Oh, wait, got to do the outro. It just wouldn't be right.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day.
That's my cue to get up and get out of here. Markets look like they're trying to find some kind of solid ground here, but we all know that a pullback here could just send this thing down for another leg. We've already had one. This is the second push down. Maybe we level off here. I don't know that there's any potential for news, good news, bad news, any news on the horizon. This whole Europe thing has got the world in turmoil. So trade what's in front of you. There's an FOMC tomorrow. So, I mean, that always brings uncertainty with it. So perhaps it's a good time to be on the sidelines. And there's nothing wrong with not being in a trade every minute of the day. Or not being in a trade for a whole day. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you're bad or slothful or didn't show up for work. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means you assess the market, all that's going on, the potential for whatever may come out of this Fed meeting, and that, you know, your cooler head is prevailing and saying you're going to just wait until after the Fed or until Wednesday morning. Or your trading strategy might say, you know what, those big picture things don't really affect my ability on a trend down day to take 2 points out of the market. Now, I don't know which guy you are. And all I'm saying is go look in the mirror and figure out which guy you are, and then be true to yourself. That's all I'm really saying. Be true to yourself, whoever you are. If you don't know who you are, then you need to put the mouse down. And you need to first figure that out, okay? There's no right or wrong answer, no good or bad. Find out who you are, and then work really hard at being that guy to the very best of your ability. Okay? That's all. So, nothing really I can add. Oh, that YM. We tweeted into the close on Friday to buy 12120 on a stop. It ran up 30 points, so that was a 30-point tweet. Last night, we suggested right here, when this thing dropped below 120, we said if you're not long from Friday, you know, consider again buying 12120 on a stop. This time it ran up to 53, okay? So there was a 30-point end of the close Friday, 33 points on the open last night, and then after that, if you didn't catch that move, then it never triggered again. Okay? And the one I was really looking for was a big trigger up through here. That didn't happen. So you had a shot here, and then the world fell apart. The Euro trade, that thing's still falling to the downside. We missed tweeting the gold trade. Sorry about that. Swing traders do have an alert out on the ES. Now, guys, that may get pulled. Okay? It hasn't triggered yet, and we may decide to pull it before it triggers. We're going to watch the market, try to get a feel for it, and we'll let you know. Okay? If we stay in it, we'll message to you, we'll email or send via the private Twitter feed that we are triggered into the trade. But we will, if we're going to pull it, we'll do it with ample warning. Okay? Now, on the Twitter feed, because a lot of times people ask me, they go, well, exactly what time? I'm not sure what time that came through. If you hover over the time on Twitter, okay, it tells you the exact date and time. Like, it might just say 8 hours ago or 2 days ago, but if you take your mouse and hover over it, okay, hover over it, it will give you the exact date, the exact time. Your email comes with a time stamp and a date stamp, okay? Like, if you come home, you've been out running errands, check your email, you go, okay, it's now 3:15. This email has a time stamp on it of 1:15. So they sent me this email 2 hours ago. So is it actionable now or not? See, if you ever have a question, if it's during normal business hours, just call Bert. 866-928-3310. One more time, 866-928-3310. Again, congratulations to Octavio Tovar for winning the iPad 2. As soon as it shows up in the mail, it's being shipped UPS from China. I've got the tracking number. I'm tracking this thing from China. As soon as he gets it, he's going to come on the radio show and talk about it and tell us, you know, how much fun he's having with it, etc. Okay, so I'm looking forward to that. I want to thank you. Oh, go take the free trial. If you've not taken the free trial, it's really free. There's no gotcha. We don't want your credit card. Just go to cfrn.net/apply. That's all you got to do. Put in your name, your email address. We respect your privacy. We don't sell your name, give it away, lend it out. You'll only be contacted by us about your free trial. Now, when you sign up, if within 5 minutes you don't have a confirmation email, because this is double opt-in, that's how much we don't believe in spam. Check your bulk folder. Check your spam folder. And if you don't see that confirmation email, call Bert toll free, 866-928-3310, or call Michael and myself at the 415 number on the website. We'll get you in manually, okay? All right, that's going to do it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.